Cameron, we're back.
We are back and better than ever.
Yeah, this is, our plans got a little sidetracked by today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we had three episodes left, worst episode, best episode, and timeline. But something kind of came in front of us that we weren't expecting. So while we were working on those episodes, we just got sidetracked. And ended up in a weird place. I don't even think I've told you the full story of how it happened.
No, you really haven't.
So as many of our viewers will know, viewers, listeners, sure, some of you have viewed our faces. Many of you will know, I have kind of a slight obsession, maybe, with like the Bible and stuff like that.
Yeah, slight.
And I know I've talked to you about this. I've probably talked about it on the podcast. I talk about it a lot. But like about 20-ish years ago, David Green of Hobby Lobby fame, don't come on the show.
Not allowed.
What?
I said not allowed.
Not allowed. Created kind of a black market for like those kinds of products that only sort of existed before. So I have from time to time jumped on a Tor browser. And just kind of went and seen what commodities are like supposedly being sold out there. Never really with the intention of buying, because I can't afford it.
No, window shopping.
But window shopping
in the black market.
Seeing what's out there, seeing if the Green family makes any fishy purchases.
As they are wont to do.
But a few weeks ago, I was on a commodities website. I will not name which one. And a listing caught my eye.
Hobby Lobby 2, we'll say.
What?
2.
Hobby Lobby 2, yes.
2 Hobby 2 Lobby.
2 Hobby 2 Lobby. They really should make that store, actually.
I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And it's like, we do the same things as them, but like better people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So something caught my eye. And you know what it is. You've seen it now.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we have like a world exclusive. Like Pod Meets World hasn't done this. None of the other Boy Meets World podcasts have done this. Like I was on that website and I found a listing for the lost pilot of Boy Meets World. And I was like, this can't be real. Like there's just no way. So I kind of messaged the guy. And turns out he's a listener of this show.
Wow.
So I can't say his name, obviously. I told him I'd give him a
show. World.
But he says he listens to us. He listened to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. He's just a fan and a collector. So he gave me the Lost Pilot. We've seen it.
Yeah, we've watched it with our own eyes.
And, you know, we thought we were done with episode reviews. But here we're going to bring this one to you guys. And afterwards, we'll tell you like where to find it. Because I kind of put it on the internet.
Yeah, so it's out there and we will get you connected with it. And I honestly, I'm just excited to bring this to everyone.
Yeah, I don't want people to get excited. It's not, there's a reason they reshot it. It was weird. The Alan actor change was weird. The Eric actor change was really weird.
Yeah.
There was a lot of strangeness. But we'll get to all that in the review.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I can't wait. Just yeah. this weird niche of Boy Meets World history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here before us. So let's get to it.
Yeah, let's jump right in.
Oh, that beautiful bean footage.
Brought to you by 2 Hobby 2 Lobby. Unless someone real decides to sponsor us, this is the last episode review of Boy Meets World Fever. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
And I'm your other host, Cameron. Wow. Another episode to review. Like, who'd have thought?
Yeah. And to be like an episode no one has reviewed.
Mm-hmm. It's like is this spoiling? Are we spoil? Is this a spoiler? Can you spoil a pilot of a 90s TV show?
Yeah, that's a weird question. I'm not sure. But we'll review it, and then you guys can go check it out. At the end of this episode, we'll kind of tell how to find it. We can't like just put it out there, so there's some hoops you got to jump through. But
we got you. We got you the hookup.
So yeah, let's. I think we got to review it. This is our thing.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, we have to all the episodes.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, if this doesn't get us in Pod Meets World's radar, nothing will.
Nothing will. Even I literally stood on stage with them, and we're not in their radar. But this will do it.
Then the official really liked your sunglasses.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of good it did me.
But yeah, so why don't you give us? You know what? No. How are you, Cameron? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm doing good. It like on the one hand, it has been a while mm-hmm. for this, but on the other hand, it hasn't because you know we've been doing some work on like Henshin Fever, yeah. which is our other podcast. But at the same time, you know, it feels it has been a while. I mean, just when was our last episode? Like we didn't have anything come out in all of March.
No, we've been on hiatus, kind of preparing for like our final big three episodes.
Uh-huh. But I mean, I've been good. I feel like I've been watching weirdly a lot of Guy's Grocery Games and also Golden Girls, which is oddly prescient
for
today's
yeah.
episode.
That is oddly prescient.
Like just my face lit up, you know, as we'll get into.
Yeah.
But no, I've been really good. It's been going well.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
How are you, Chance?
I am pretty good. We have a very big we're recording this on Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very big weekend ahead. I'm excited for it. I am dreading parts of it. Just a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm good. I'm not as tired as I would normally be. But I could go to bed right now.
It's because you're energized by the dark web energy.
I am energized by that dark web energy. I prepped my computer to go on the dark web years ago, and I always said I'm never going to hire an assassin. But it's nice to know I can if I need to.
You know, you can if you needed to.
That option is there. It's like it's like. All of those, like, you can tow a boulder truck commercials. You're never gonna.
Yeah. I mean, I've 35 years on God's green earth. Never had to tow a boulder.
Nope.
I don't have a truck to do it, but.
No one has.
You know, never have had to. You know when they have to? Truck commercials.
Truck commercials. 100% of boulder towing happens in Dodge commercials.
Just a fun fact. With a pickup truck,
and I mean it for non-commercial use. I know there are people who do like move big rocks.
Yeah, I mean, but you use like specialized equipment for big rock moving.
Yeah,
not your little Ram 1500.
Yeah, if you're like, I worked in construction for years and I've towed lots of boulders, that's not what we mean.
You're fine. You're doing great.
You're overthinking the metaphor.
You know, we got a big construction worker subsection. Of our audience.
A big base.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we should be back fairly soon. We should be back fairly soon with the worst episode mm-hmm. of Boy Meets World. That one's taken some work because I've had to listen back to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And I haven't.
Yeah, that's true. You do the editing and the posting, and I do all of the legwork.
Yes. And we both talk.
But yeah, so
we do have a guest that wants to be on that episode. So
yeah, and so we're having to schedule. So it's just been a thing. We're sorry we've been away, but it's gonna be good. The last three episodes are gonna be good.
Honestly, also it's been a little nice.
Yeah,
4 years of hard labor.
4 years, but we've only got three left after this one. But
three left.
We do have an episode to review.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we should get into it.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna give a synop of. The pilot, secret, the lost pilot.
Yeah. Of Boy Meets World. The unaired pilot. I don't know.
Unaired pilot. Deeply Hidden Away pilot. All right. So it's kind of a weird setup for the show. You know, they haven't quite hit their stride on where all the characters are supposed to be, the dynamics between the specific characters. So the main thrust of the episode is Alan's mom is coming to live with them at their house. And so he's kind of dreading it. And then as she comes in and kind of goes into their family dynamic, she sort of takes over, you know. Alan's dad's been gone a long time. So she like raised her son and is used to being like the matriarch. And now she's moving into this new dynamic and used to kind of calling the shots. And some chaos ensues, some hilarity, some awkward family dynamics. And at the same time, Eric is trying to get his curfew extended to go watch a movie with some friends. Yeah. He's 15 and feels like he is old enough to stay out till 2.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. You'll see we didn't mention Corey. Corey is kind of the he kind of just pops into scenes. And that he's kind of the bridge, I would say. Like where he goes is where things tend to go. Like he mentions Eric, and then we get a scene with Eric. Like in this very first scene, like it's all Amy and Alan fighting, and then Corey shows up. He's more like experiencing these things going on around him than being like an active participant in them.
Yeah, it's strange. Like they really hadn't hit their stride.
Yeah, they hadn't figured it out yet. But yeah, so yeah, we start in the living room. It's a little bit. I would say the decoration is a little old fashioned. I mean, I know it was what 92.
Yeah. 92, so 93, I don't remember.
But it was kind of a little maybe too Full House-y. A little bit. Actually, I think Full House had a lot of influence on this pilot.
Yeah, you could tell the word isn't quite schmaltzy. Maybe a little bit. And even like not to jump too far ahead, but you know, like the resolution of things and the musical cues. You know, it's very family TV.
Very, yeah. There's even like there's a choice they make late. Like we're about to see it. Not too long, but I think it's very family or Full House-y. I was gonna say family TV-y, but specifically Full House. But yeah, it's weird. But yeah, so we open up with a whole fight. Not really a fight. It's like a play fight.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, Alan is like, let's you gotta watch him out.
Not Alan, because not this Alan. Is not the Alan.
Yeah, it's not William Russ.
No, it's not William Russell. I looked for the actor's name. I could not find it. I know it's out there. So
I guess
this sort of
sealed his fate.
Yeah. If you know who this actor is supposed to be, let me know. I just don't know actors and faces very well, especially like 1992.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kept Googling like who this actor is and I couldn't find any information, but I'm pretty sure Pod Meets World has said who it is. But yeah, the dynamic between not Alan and Amy is much more, kind of like women are the enemy kind of a deal than kind of the fun banter they have, when it becomes William Russell.
Is it William Russell or William Russ?
William Russ, you're right.
Okay. I was like, did I say it wrong?
I'm telling you, I don't know actor.
That's true.
I call him Rusty.
Oh, Rusty.
Well,
not this guy. Whoever this guy is. I can't remember either.
Yeah, but it's a lot of like, he says dumb thing and she rolls her eyes and says something snarky, but then goes and cooks a dish or something. I much prefer.
Go get the tea for everyone.
Yeah, I much prefer. The Amy and Alan we get, I like better.
Yes.
That being said, these two could have developed into a lovely relationship, but I didn't feel it in this episode.
I looked it up. The actor who played Alan goes by his name is Matt McCoy.
Matt McCoy. Man, I looked that up for a long time and I couldn't figure it out. How did you do that?
I'm having a hard time placing him.
Let's see what he was in. Who's in Police Academy 5 and 6?
The best police academies.
I don't think I know him from anything. Literally.
I'm trying to pull up his list of work.
He's in a movie called Samurai Cowboy, which can't be bad.
No, I mean, that can't be bad. Oh, he was in some Golden Girls. That's a fun connection.
Oh, yeah. I wonder.
He's in one episode.
Well, okay, probably not then. Yeah, it looks like he's just guest starred a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing like a big. I mean, you didn't watch Underwater Upside Down, the movie of 2023?
Oh my gosh, he's the dad in Alley Cat Strike. This changes everything.
We're the number one fan. We're the number one Matt McCoy fans.
He's the dad in Alley Cat Strike.
Is that under his TV? So much sense. Oh, yep, there he is. Alley Cat Strike. Why is that under television and not under movies? It's not right, I tell you.
It's not right. It is the best DCOM. Now, I know what you're thinking out there. You're going to say, I'm going to say this is the... No, it's Alley Cat Strike. Stop it.
But what about Brink?
No, it's Alley Cat Strike. Stop it.
What about Xenon?
Nope, still Alley Cat Strike. Stop it.
The Z-quel?
Stop it.
Z3? I never even watched Z3. I was kind of over it by that point. But Matt McCoy is his name.
Matt McCoy, come on the show. I will only talk to you about Alley Cat Strike. And
I guess Boy Meets World.
Yeah. I know I'm comparing this up to a lot of other sitcoms. And I've actually not seen this sitcom in 20 years. But their relationship reminded me maybe a lot more of Ray Romano and his wife and Everyone Loves Raymond.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that I've only watched that a little bit here and there. Never been a huge fan.
Yeah, I literally have no opinion on it.
Their dynamic. I do like, is it Patricia Heaton? I think that's the wife in that show. I like her in The Middle. I don't know if you ever watched The Middle.
Is Neil Flynn in that?
Uh-huh, he's the dad.
I do love Neil Flynn, but no, I haven't seen
him. He's the best TV dad.
Okay.
I'm willing to put it out there. It's him and probably Philip Banks on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and maybe Carl Winslow are top three TV dads.
Yeah. It's probably a little racist that immediately when you said Carl Winslow, I'm also and Uncle Phil.
Well, that's who, I already said Uncle Phil.
Oh, I missed that somewhere.
I said Philip Banks. Is it Banks? Yeah, it's Banks.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Uncle Phil.
Okay. I need to check my own internalized racism. Okay.
Yes, you do.
We all do, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our lives.
Bam. So they're arguing about whether or not Alan's mom can come live with them.
Mm-hmm. I did think it was funny. It's the joke that they do where it's I love your mom. And he just says you love holiday mom. Mm-hmm. Where you go and she says, oh, you look so nice. You never looked better. This is not holiday mom. This is going to be a problem. She's going to put me on a diet.
Yeah. Which he's very thin. I don't know why.
Yeah. You know, mom's
a joke.
That's mom's for you.
I guess the joke is dudes love to eat. and I thought this was really interesting. The idea of Alan's mother being set up this quickly.
Yeah. Clearly they don't stick with it.
No. They bring her back and they give her her episode. Maybe it was a contract thing.
Maybe.
If we haven't made the connection enough, Rue McClanahan is in this episode as Alan's mom.
It's the weirdest thing.
Was she doing Golden Girls while this was on?
I'm looking it up because I don't know when Golden Girls ended. It ended in 92, but then I know they started Golden Palace.
Was Rue McClanahan in that?
Yes. Everyone but Bea Arthur was. But that only ran for a year. So, I mean, she was available.
Yeah, maybe she was looking for other work. No,
I mean, I don't know how filming schedules work. She might not have been super available.
Yeah, maybe she was looking for other work at the time. Maybe it was an audition. It's interesting to think what would have happened if she had been a main character right from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
She would have gotten together with Feeny for sure.
For sure. Because we know how Feeny is.
Yeah, we know how Feeny is. And we know how McClanahan is.
At least I know how Blanche Devereaux is. Which I imagine, that's my really main knowledge of who Rue McClanahan is. is Blanche Devereaux.
I'm not going to lie to you. I do not know Alan's mom's name. They called her grandma. They called her mom. I called her Ruby McClanahan in my head.
There's Blanche. We'll just call her Blanche.
There's Blanche, yes. It was supposed to be a really obvious connection at first. But they're having this argument, and the argument kind of takes them into the kitchen. It's not really funny. Like, it's just a lot of, like, Alan saying, like, this is going to go terrible. We shouldn't do this. And Amy, like, rolling her eyes and saying, like, we all love your mom. Like, she's going to do great here.
Uh-huh. And this is what's interesting when they're in the kitchen. This is a plot point that doesn't continue. And it sure would have been interesting because Corey and Morgan are in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking care of a baby.
Yes, yes. And I could not for the life of me figure out whose baby this was.
Yeah.
Like, it drove me crazy. And when it, like, happens, I have no idea why it happened.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. They're just talking about, like, wanting to take care of the baby. And Corey's like, well, I'm going to take care of the baby. And Morgan's like, let me hold the baby. And he's like, when you're older, you can hold the baby. She's like, when I'm older, he won't be a baby.
And he's like, tough kiss.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, and then they kind of move on to the next room. They continue their fight. But I, for the life of me, had no clue where this baby, like, was Joshua supposed to be, like, at the beginning of the show? But this is the thing I was saying. They have to be including this baby because of Michelle Tanner, right? Like, because that show was so huge at the time. Yeah,
you need a baby.
Yeah. I maybe I'm wrong. I just kind of feel like they're doing this because of the success of, like, of Michelle Tanner in that one show.
Full House. Yes, we've said it multiple times.
I was having troubles.
We're tired.
So it's a weird plot point. I don't know where it's going. I mean, if I was, like, watching a pilot of something I had no connection to, I would have been just like, huh, baby.
There's a baby. Goo goo gaga.
But in this one, I was like, what is happening? What's going on?
Yeah, some things don't make sense. But when they're in the living room, Eric comes down the stairs and he's like, hey, after I start this laundry, let me wash the car. Let me do this. Let me do that. And they're like, what do you want?
He wants just to go hang out with some friends and watch some TV. And Alan's like, let's find the cat, shall we?
Uh-huh. So he's just like, parents home. Yes. Will there be girls? No. Alcohol? No. Until when? 2 a.m. He's like, there it is.
There it is. And he's like, your curfew is at 10. So you don't get to go.
A reasonable curfew for a 15-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Although, like, watching movies with your buds isn't like a party.
Yeah, why couldn't you just make it a sleepover? Maybe because he's like 15, mm-hmm. and it's the 90s. And you just don't do that. Like, in the early mid 2000s, I would, like, spend the night at a friend's house. We'd, like, game.
Yeah.
Quite late. But
yeah, that it seems like the early 2000s, maybe the late 90s, that was just like, that's the only time that ever happened. Because I have talked to so many people now, like Gen Zers and Gen Xers, like, none of them had this experience of just, like, going and hanging out at a friend's house and, like, calling your parents and being like, hey, I'm staying over at Terrace's house, I'm gonna crash. Like, it's just not a thing.
I mean, mine wouldn't be like that. It would be planned.
Well, sometimes I got it planned, but, like, by the
time I'm not you.
Sure. But, like, by the time I was 15, 16, most of my friends could just do that with their parents. They'd just use our house phone. They'd call their parents and they'd be like, hey, I'm over at Chance's, I'm just gonna crash.
I mean, I'm glad to know you're safe.
Huh?
It's like, I'm glad to know you're safe. I mean, at the same time, you were, like, burning Superman symbols into gas station parking lots. So
that's true.
I don't know if safe is the right word.
that was more, well, yeah, by 15, 16, that was definitely me.
It only happened once.
But, like, the minute Friday hit, like, even before, like, my family fell apart and I, like, had to ask my parents for things, like, it was just a thing. Like, we were gonna all go hang out at someone's house.
Uh-huh.
And we were probably all gonna sleep over there. And it was like you said, it was planned, like probably that Thursday or something. Be like, hey, we're all going to so and so's house. Tell your parents.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of normal.
Yeah, but I've talked to some people who were like 10 years older than us, and they're like, no, we never. What are you talking about? Like, we went home and we slept at our home. And I've talked to some people, like, well, I've got a 13-year-old niece. And I'm like, do you guys do that? Do you know anyone who does that? And she's like, no. I mean, I text my friends. We, like, play games online. And I'm just like.
Yeah, I feel like there's just an awareness of, like, the fact that there's a bunch of creeps in the world. Whereas, like, yeah. We even with our kids, we're, like, cousins only. For the, like, if you want to do, like, a sleepover, like, family only, we might make, like, an exception here and there. Like, we've been talking about that with one of his friends because we know the mom really well and, like, how strict she is. But it's just, like, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily want my kid to be somewhere else.
Yeah. That's just a wild thing. I think we haven't really talked about it, mostly because after 7, like, this is a 10, 11.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan's just 8.
Yeah. This is more of a 10 or 11 thing, but, like, we've talked a lot about it. I guess we haven't talked a lot about it, and but I think she's pretty against it too. And I'm just like, that's how I grew up. like I don't know. Like, I was fine.
Were you? Not because of that. My family
was the one that hurt the most.
The reason you weren't okay wasn't because of that.
Yeah.
My family, probably the reason you were the most okay that you were was because of things like that.
So yeah, I don't know. It's just a thing, and maybe it's. Well, I guess it's not. I was going to say maybe it's an urban versus rural thing because I lived in a very rural town. And now we live in, like, I mean, it's like the 20th biggest city in the nation, but it's still pretty big.
Still fairly large.
But I don't know.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. But he's wanting to do that. Eric is. And Alan's just not having it. He's like, no, you don't need to give me an answer now. I'm just going to go rotate your tires. And I'm just like, well, we'll just let this go. Maybe he'll paint the house.
Yeah. Maybe he'll paint the house. Who knows? And then we finally get the reveal of Rue McClanahan.
Mm-hmm. She's here.
She's here.
She's on the alarm
door. She's very sweet. She hugs them all. She's very sassy.
Uh-huh. She has a good energy, a good grandma energy.
Yeah, it's maybe a bit more reserved than her later appearance.
Uh-huh.
What's that episode called?
Grandma was a Rolling Stone. Grandma was a
Rolling Stone, thank you.
I mean, she was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, it's maybe a little more reserved, and they don't do the Winnebago honk.
Yeah.
But I guess if she was going to be a series regular, that would probably be annoying. So.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, because the premise of that episode is she's, like, coming to visit.
Yeah.
And is very flighty.
You know, I have so many questions about this. Like, was she meant to be a recurring character? Or was it just like, she was just the, like, plot device of this episode? And then in a few episodes, they'd be like, where's grandma? And she's like, she took her Winnebago to Tijuana.
She bought a Winnebago.
Yeah, I have so many questions.
For real. But she comes in, and then, interesting. This is interesting.
Okay.
But the door is still open, and in comes Mr. Feeney.
Yes.
Carrying her bags, carrying Rue McClanahan's bags.
Yeah, like, I still don't know why.
But he's, like, doing that, and, like, Corey and Morgan come, and they're like, hey, Grandma. And then Feeney's like, if you're here, who's watching my grandkid?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, they are. And they point to each other, and so he's like, uh-oh, and he runs off.
Yeah.
So apparently this is Feeney's grandchild baby.
Yeah, Feeney's got a kid. He's single dadding it,
I guess.
Yeah, Feeney got reworked. They still kept, like, the literature angle.
Uh-huh.
Because
he's, like, a writer or something.
Yeah. He's trying to write, like, the next great novel or something.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be going well.
It doesn't. he's their neighbor. He is a writer, and they watch his grandson, who he's taking care of.
What's more 90s than that?
What? I have no idea. So he runs off to find apparently his grandson.
Apparently. So strange.
Um, I I have no idea why Feeny carries in these bags, but he does. And that's how he gets introduced.
We're glad he's here.
I am glad that they kept, like, the first interaction between Corey and Feeny is, like, antagonistic or disappointing.
That does stay the same. Because through the rest of the episode, it's really not.
Yeah, well, Corey still goes to him for advice.
He goes, but it's not antagonistic. Like, no, when we get the actual pilot that airs, it's like from the jump.
Yeah.
He's like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Child. And really, in the first season, the wise Feeny at the gate giving a life lesson isn't really a thing.
No.
Like, I that's kind of a thing in the last episode, the one where Feeny gets sick and he's like, take the plant and plant it and we'll grow good roots.
Mm-hmm.
And the staying up late one.
Yeah, a little bit of the, like, geography bee one.
Yeah, but that's not, like, at the...
No, not at the gate, at the fence. But, you know, the staying up too late one. It's, like, here and there.
Yeah.
But they get it here, though.
Yeah, they hit it here. Not yet, but in a little bit. Because we get a cutaway to, like, for, like, a commercial, I guess. And then when it comes back, Amy's cooking in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that the whole kitchen is flipped. Like, all of the appliances are facing the other wall, and the table is by the back door. You've still got the back door, but, like, the table is where the back door is, and all the appliances are up against the other wall.
Where the, like, swinging door is, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
Was there already the scene between Eric and the grandma? Does this happen before the making of the meatloaf and criticizing of the meatloaf? Classic joke.
I think the criticizing of the meatloaf comes first, and then it's Eric and Rue McClanahan, and then it's they actually sit down for dinner.
Right. We forgot to mention Eric is played by his name's Harry Berendez.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him at all.
But. Yeah, I don't think he's in a whole lot. I only knew that because several years ago at this point, I mean, I was like 3 years ago. At this point, I did like a Will Friedle appreciation week on our Instagram, and I found that out and like shared it. And it's funny because Harry Berendez himself commented on the post and was like, it's true. I can confirm.
Oh, really?
And I was like, hey, you want to talk about it? And he never got back. So it's fine. Come on the show.
How do you spell his name?
Barandes.
I just kind of want to see, like, what he looks like now.
I can look at his Instagram.
Oh.
He doesn't post anything. Theater artist turned social worker.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah, there's a picture of them.
Here he is. You can't see that. There you go.
No, I've got it. There's a picture from the set. It's the a picture of Ben and him in the attic room that we're going to go to later.
Nice.
I guess he's basically most famous for not
being in Boy Meets World.
For not being in Boy Meets World, yeah.
That's funny. Me too. I'm also most famous for not being in Boy Meets World.
Just kind of weird. I looked so hard to try to find who these guys' names were, and I just couldn't. Every time I looked up, like, secret pilot of, or, like, unaired pilot of Boy Meets World, I got...
You couldn't find it.
Well, I just got stuff from the actual pilot. Well... Interesting. Okay. But yes, he is played by someone who looks a lot more like Ben.
Mm-hmm.
They have
a brotherly look.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically Rue comes in and has this scene where, like, she keeps saying, like, oh, everything's great. Whatever you make for dinner is good. And everything Amy tells her that they're having for dinner, she's like, oh, but I hate that.
It's like, oh, you should try the mushroom sauce. Mushrooms give me gas.
Yeah. Well, she's like, it's your recipe.
So it couldn't be mine.
So we can see that she's kind of getting on Amy's nerves. And then the next scene is Eric and her talking. And she's like, you know, she a lot like in Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. She's like, well, let me talk to your dad. I'll get you to that party.
Yeah, because we some of the earlier scenes, like, she's talking with Corey and Morgan, and they're like asking about. Apparently, she's like a world traveler
Yeah.
Been on a lot of adventures. They're like,
probably a lot
talking
of
about her knowing the queen. She's like, "Do you know Prince?" And she's like, "Which one?" And mm-hmm. she lifts off a bunch of princes. And she's like, "I think she means Prince, plays the guitar and wears purple underwear." Or so that was funny. But she just basically tells Eric that she's going to fight for his right to party.
Yes.
And by party, she means go and watch Rambo Marathon.
Yeah, apparently that's the big.
It was very funny when Eric was like, the marathon doesn't start until 9. The first movie doesn't start until 9, and I have to be home by 10. And she's like, by 10 o'clock, Rambo wouldn't have even blown anyone up yet.
Sure. Were you with us when we watched all the Rambo movies in college?
I don't think so. I've only ever seen one Rambo movie, and it's the one that we all went to together.
Okay. See, I didn't go to that one, but I watched all of the ones that we watched together leading up.
Oh, why didn't you go to that one?
I don't remember. The honest truth of the matter is I probably didn't have enough money and felt embarrassed and didn't want to tell anyone.
Well, that's fair.
I missed out on a lot of things in college.
I feel like we weren't close friends yet, you and
not
I.
Not yet.
Or I had, I had taken care of you.
Oh, thank you.
That means literally nothing at this point.
It's true. I realized that I'm pretty sure next year our adulthoods will be an entire adult.
Yeah, 36.
So that was literally an entire human ago. Adulthood.
Gross. Don't talk like that.
But yeah, so we watched them and we're very shocked that only really Rambo kills like 2 people in the first movie.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just surprising.
So she was in fact correct.
Yeah, she was telling the truth.
I mean, in the fourth one?
I think.
Whatever it is, it's like he's got a body count. And I don't mean that in 2024 parlance.
Yes. Yeah, I remember hearing all the stories from like our group of friends about what was in that movie, but I still to this day have never seen it.
He shoots people in half.
Yeah, yeah, because he's got like a 50 cal, right?
Well, there's a sniper that's on his side with a 50 cal, but he just has like a chain gun.
Okay,
and it's just like, and all of these I don't remember where he is. Somewhere in Southeast Asia. I don't know. Trying to save some Christian missionaries who didn't listen to him when he told them not to go up the river without guns and way to protect themselves.
Of course.
But then he goes and saves them.
But yeah, so I have only seen the same ones that Eric would have seen.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. I believe.
And you have only seen the one
that he wouldn't have seen.
What a delightful turn of events that is.
Yes, hilarious stuff.
But yeah, so then we get, does Corey go get advice from Feeny now, or is that after dinner?
You know, it's before dinner.
Okay.
Because dinner's when everything kind of blows up, and mm-hmm. they talk with Eric. But like, that's like the climax, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Okay.
But he definitely talks before, but he's, because like Feeny's talking about his book. And now he's having trouble coming up with the next chapter.
Oh yeah, he's talking to Amy in the side yard.
Yeah, but then Corey goes and talks to him about he's just worried. Like, is everything going to be okay? All this stuff with Grandma, all this stuff with Eric. What's gonna happen? Basically, like speaking for the audience.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. He's speaking for the audience, and then. You know, Feeny like compares his life to a book, like he does,
uh-huh.
And tells him like everything's gonna be okay. You know, I had to adjust to my. And he says like his kid died, and he had to take care of his grandson.
Uh huh. But it's like, but your dad like helped me out.
Yeah,
like, that's the kind of guy that he is. And so even though it's maybe uncomfortable right now, like he's a good guy. He's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of the situation.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, your family has really helped me like be a working single dad. So,
it's such a strange,
yeah, it's a strange choice
thing, but you know, whatever.
He's much more of a Wilson. Like he's kind of just like there for advice
uh-huh.
and for people to like talk to.
Yeah.
But
the
then,
sage on the other side of the fence.
The sage on the other side of the fence, exactly. But then it's dinner time. You know, Rue's like, no, we need to have dinner now. I've got plans later.
She says, if I don't eat now, I'm not going to be regular for a week.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I didn't remember, but
like, my digestion's telling me I got to eat now.
They all sit down. They say grace. That was weird.
Yeah, Alan's like, deliver us from evil.
Yeah, he makes this joke about delivering them from evil. And basically, Eric says all the nice things he's done.
Mm-hmm. Eric he's dressed up really nice.
Yeah, he dresses
up. It's like, you know, 90s nice.
90s nice. Lots of shirts.
Uh-huh. That stuck around.
Corey and Morgan are making snarky comments. And he's like, so can we talk about the party? And Alan's like, I told you, you're not going to the party.
Yeah, it's not happening. But then Rue McClanahan is like, I think you should go to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. Like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Alan and Amy are a little annoyed, and they have to, like, put their foot down. Like, no, like, he's our son.
Yeah, his curfew is 10. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah. They have to put their foot down, and now, like, there's conflict between Rue and the parents, and there's conflict between Eric and the parents. And
yeah, he's just like, you never let me do anything. I'm out of here. And he goes to his room.
Yeah, he goes to his room to sulk. Then we get another cutaway and another, like, cut in. Alan and Amy are in the living room having a discussion
mm-hmm.
about, like, hey, this can't continue. Like, your mom needs to know that we, like, run this house. Her, like, carefree nature can't, like, run this house.
Yeah. And he's like, Eric said he's not coming out of his room till he's 18. And then he's moving out.
Yeah. He's not coming out until he can move out. And, yeah. What else happened?
So Alan goes to talk with his mom. And so they have that full house moment with the music. And, you know, just the real emotional moment where he's like, I know after dad died, like, you raised us. Like, you're just used to calling the shots. But, like, you have to, you know, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've got this. We're doing it. We're going to make the decisions that are best for our kids.
And, yeah.
You know, the way we run things around here. You can be an advisor.
And she's, yeah, like, and she's like, oh, that's a new role for me.
Mm-hmm. I've had to get used to a new job.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm not a kid anymore. Like, I've got my own kids, and I gotta be to them what you were to me.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, as your advisor, I think you should, you know, trust Eric. Like,
yeah.
The way you get responsibility is by giving trust.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, something to think about.
Something to think about. So I guess all the kids have their own room in this one.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Corey has, like, their kind of classic room, and he shares a bathroom with Morgan, but Eric is in an attic.
Mm-hmm. Like, he moved up to the attic.
Yeah, he moved up to
an attic. Grandma lives in.
So that's a weird choice. Maybe it's because they didn't want to have to show Eric's room very often. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because in the regular show, he's just with Corey, so.
Yeah. It makes much more sense. But yeah, so he's in an attic, and he's looking out a window with binoculars going, oh.
Yeah, so you have to trust Eric. Instantly cuts to untrustworthy Eric.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought it was a kind of a risque joke for Boy Meets World.
Uh-huh.
I guess this is technically the untitled Ben Savage project.
Surprisingly, not a lot of Ben Savage in the untitled Ben Savage project.
Yeah, he's in there a lot. He's just not integral to the
plot. He's not the driver. Yeah. But we've always said Boy Meets World is best when Corey isn't the driver.
Yeah. And I can see, like, Boy Meets World, like, he's kind of the audience surrogate, the eyes that they kind of experience the show through.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, but I think it's a good change that they make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
To make him more of the protagonist driving the action forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's looking out windows doing ooh, and then Alan comes to talk to him, and they have that moment of like, hey, I know it was hard to move up here when grandma took your room. You've proven to be a trustworthy guy. You can go to the movie, basically.
He's like, well, we're going to move your curfew back to 11. He's like, but then I still can't go. He's like, but I'm going to make an exception for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, go have fun. Thanks, yeah. Dad. Gives him a big hug.
Yeah, they have a big moment.
Hug it out, Full House style.
I'm not going to lie. It didn't work for me. I'm glad things changed the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because centering this plot around these two, but them not being like quite who they need to be.
Yeah, they make some good changes, even between here and the Eric that we get and the Alan that we get.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, is that the episode? Is there another scene that I'm not thinking about?
Oh, they hear some singing.
Oh, that's right.
And so Alan comes down and they're singing around a piano. And Mr. Yeah. Feeny's playing the piano.
Feeny's playing the piano. I can't believe I forgot about this.
What the heck?
I put it out of my mind. Feeny is playing the piano, and the whole family is just kind of singing around it. Rue McClanahan.
Very reminiscent of Golden Girls in that case.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
They do that a couple of times.
I think I have a theory that Betsy...
Randall?
Betsy Randall was hired to because of her singing voice. I think... The role had to be more musical at first. She's mm-hmm. a great singer.
She does. That episode, the Shangri-La episode.
Mm-hmm.
She finally got to showcase that.
Yeah. So the family's just all singing in the living room, and Alan's like, oh, happy times. I better enjoy them while they last.
Yeah. And so they're singing, and then it slowly like pans out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see just the up and over the city, and you know. There it is.
Yeah, that's for sure. I can't believe I blocked out the singing scene.
The best part of the episode you blocked out?
Singing,
he's got the whole world in his hands?
The whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
This kind of makes sense for like a sitcom at this time. It's uh-huh. so weird because Michael Jacobs is very Jewish. So making them like Midwest Christian is an odd choice.
Uh-huh.
I think in later episodes, right, like Michael Jacobs has said that Corey is kind of based on him. So like that's probably why it gets a little less religious and Corey starts driving the show a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's it.
Yeah, but that's the end of the episode.
That's it.
We did it.
World exclusive.
World exclusive. The first ever review, at least on a podcast, of the unaired pilot. Ratings.
Gosh, I don't know. It's like fine.
Yeah, it's weird because it's rating like another show.
Yeah, it's like cute, not hot.
Yeah.
So maybe like a 6.
I was thinking kind of a 6.
I mean, they had to go back and like redo it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly to them also cute, not hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. A 6. Boy meets Feeny's child? Feeny's baby?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess the boy doesn't meet him. We do.
No, we meet them.
I mean, we've already got Boy Meets Grandma for Grandma of the Rolling Stone. So.
Uh-huh. Boy Meets Grandma version 0.2. We can go Kingdom Hearts with it.
I love it.
Kingdom Hearts or Boy Meets Grandma 0.2 birth by sleep drop distance.
You write that down. I'll remember.
Finally.
MVP.
I think it's Alan.
It's gotta be Alan, right?
He drives it. He has his funny moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, Alan. I like new Alan better. Or real mm-hmm. Alan better?
Real Alan.
But this one's fine.
This is Diet Alan.
Okay. So we reviewed the episode. Kind of anticlimactic for such a like hot piece of
media
history. But we give it a 6.
Yeah, that's a 6. There's a reason that they redid it.
Yeah, there's a reason that they redid it. So now we'll give you guys instructions so you can go watch it and you can tell us what you think. Send what your thoughts to bgworldfever@gmail.com.
Our boy BM, what is it? BG World Fever over on Instagram.
Yeah. BG World Fever on at BG World Fever on Instagram, bgworldfever@gmail.com. Let us know what you think when you watch the episode, if you watch it.
Yes. So do you want to say where, how they can get there?
I do. So if you would like to find this particular episode, all you got to do is open your browser, type in hulu.com, and search for the term Family Matter.
It'd just be episode one.
Episode one.
April Fools! I bet they never saw that coming.
They never did. They never saw it coming.
Released on April 1st on a Monday.
Are we releasing it on April 1st?
I imagine.
I love it.
Maybe it came out on April 4th. They never saw that coming.
Never see it coming. If you thought we were serious, we're really sorry. That is the first episode of
Family Matters.
Family Matters.
Which as far as Family Matters goes, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I love Carl Winslow. I think it's good that the show kind of goes in the direction it does, because I think the show kind of would have been a little boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad they include Urkel.
Uh-huh. And kind of make it more about the kids.
Uh-huh.
But as far as I enjoyed the episode, I was like, I'd watch a few more of these.
Yeah, I could crank through several more, probably. But I mean, I'm watching Golden Girls.
It's true. It's
true. And Guy's Grocery Games. You know, it depends.
Depends. You're watching. But yeah, Rue McClanahan isn't in it, obviously. It's just Mama Winslow. I kept trying real hard not to say Mama, because that's what they call her like throughout the whole episode.
The thing that kept tripping me up is I kept almost saying Eddie instead of Eric.
It's too close.
It's so close.
And
Bill and I said that Carl Winslow's a great TV dad. And I'm like, did I just blow it wide open?
No, you did that as part of like a list. I get it.
Uh-huh. Well, I had to, because he is. I think he's a good TV dad.
And I do not, like, my confusion as to why Feeny brings in Rue McClanahan's bags is actually echoed, because I think it's made very clear that Mama Winslow is Carl's mom.
Uh-huh.
But Aunt Rachel is Harriet's sister.
Yeah, but went to go pick her up at the airport or something.
Yeah, so I still, like, my confusion at why that was a thing was actually quite real.
Fairly accurate. I guess in terms of, like, TV introductions, it's like main character, side character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Rachel's a very main character.
I guess she is title character.
Yeah.
She lives in the house.
Yeah, and I don't know when it is, but I know they age up her son pretty significantly.
Uh-huh. Richie.
It's a good show. Love Family Matters. Sorry if you thought we really had the lost pilot. That was a lie.
I don't know how to watch that.
I've looked. I can't find a way. Hmm. I think Will Friedle has said he has a copy.
Will Friedle? Get at us.
Get at us. Let us really be the first to review that episode.
We'd be happy to. Would we? We would.
We would. I would definitely give it a real review.
Mm-hmm. Is it a 6? I don't know. Time will tell. Probably won't tell. Let's be
honest. Yeah. So that was our annual April Fool's episode. Hope we gotcha.
Gotcha. Hopefully. Yeah, the instant when you're like, their mom's moving in. Family Matters. Because I honestly didn't remember much of general plot beats of Family Matters. It's just Urkel getting up to hygiene.
For whatever reason, and I almost told you to cut this joke out earlier, but for some reason, I remember almost nothing about this episode, or really Family Matters season one, but for some reason the prince, the guy who plays the guitar, wears the purple underwear, joke, I feel like it's very iconic for Family Matters.
Oh yeah. I don't remember.
For some reason when I heard that joke, I was like, oh yeah, that's the Family Matters joke. So when you said it, I was gonna be like, let's cut that, because that's a little too much of a giveaway. But you know what? It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. But we really do, dear listener, we have three more episodes coming.
Three more.
In short order before the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they'll be fairly soon. We're still working. We're still working on nailing down a time with our worst episode guest. And honestly, I don't have the bracket. I have quite a few responses for the best episode. So we're almost ready to put that one together. Nice. And then we're just plugging away at the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are our final three. They're our magnum opus. We want to make them well.
Yes, the past 4 years of our lives have led to this defining moment.
Yeah, so...
it's also been kind of nice to take a little break.
It has been. It has been. Cameron and I have been talking a lot about, before we commit to anything besides Henshin Fever, we're just going to take it.
Yeah, and it's been nice.
And when we find something, or when we come back, we'll come back.
And what a joyous day that will be. Maybe it'll be Family Matters. I doubt
it. Maybe. Man, I know that Siege and TC are like, we're two black guys reviewing a very white Boy Meets World. I don't think that works.
Oh, but yeah, the reverse doesn't work. That's a bad look.
We're two white guys giving our takes on one of the seminal black shows of the 90s.
What's the big deal about that?
If it's part of a, like, we're reviewing every TGIF show, then sure.
But
if we just come back to do Family Matters, I'm not sure that's the best look.
No, that's a bad look. That's a bad bake, Mary Berry.
We need to get some melanin in it if we're gonna.
Mm-hmm. That has a soggy bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So we miss you guys, and we will keep checking the feed because we'll be back soon.
We will.
But that's all.
You can reach out though.
Yeah.
At BGWorldFever@gmail.com or Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. But as Chance already said, that's also all that I've got.
So from all of us here at Boy Meets World Fever,
so long, world.
So long, world.